Get ready for non-stop action. Get ready for non-stop excitement. They're doing the job possibly nobody wants. Watching every canon film and analyzing them to death. Frank Garcia Hale, Jeff Garlock in The Canon Canon.
Stop calling him a dog. Welcome to The Canon Canon. My name is Jeff Garlock.
And I'm Frank Garcia, New Styles Hale.
You'll never be my New Styles, because Styles is one of the greatest characters ever.
What are you looking at, Dick Nose?
Exactly. There was no looking at a Dick Nose in this movie.
No.
So people, this is a Canon Canon. We talk about canon films, all of their amazing output. We also sometimes do could have been a canons. We also, even though we've been doing this podcast for years, just recently realized we also cover loose canons.
Yes, the name finally came to us where it's like, hey, these are canon acquired because of European, you
video
know,
video distribution.
HBO canon. Is this an HBO canon?
I think I get confused. I might look it up when you're given facts just to verify.
All right, because, yeah. But somehow. Because
some of them can be like Netherlands one release.
Right. And Jeff, last, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, you had brought up the term loose canon, and I was like, wait a minute.
Oh my God. It's
three, almost 4 years in.
It's been sitting right in front of us.
And we could have been calling it a loose canon this whole time.
We also, looking at the list, there has been so many other loose canons. We are very good at this job.
Yes.
And other little bits of it, we are very not good at.
And it's a job.
It is a job. Not a job that pays really well or at all, But I was just like, oh, wait, Red Heat's a loose canon. It's not a could have been a canon.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch that we could have thrown in this category. Mm-hmm. But either way, yes, this is that canon did have their hands in it. But, by the way, Never Too Young to Die. Even some of our could have been canon picks end up being, like, tangentially a loose canon. But so this is a loose canon episode. These are the ones that come out on our Patreon early. If we do mm-hmm. a loose canon, it could have been a canon, etc. A month early, if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/thecanoncanon. We have had some amazing picks lately. That's mm-hmm. the other part. If you're a Patreon member, you can pick some of these too. Sometimes people pick a loose canon. Sometimes people just pick one that definitely could have been a canon. We just did The Party Animal.
The Party Animal.
Definitely could have been a canon in a crazy world.
Now I just imagine whenever I hear Radio Free Europe, that like a male, like 80s male pancake ass. Yeah.
Can't escape
stripper.
It. Can't. Sorry to you, REM. It can't be escaped. We just did Showdown in Little Tokyo, the one we dubbed, spoiler, the most could have been a canon of any could have been a canon we have done, probably. 10 out of 10 across the board.
Yeah.
So either way, just to also give you some slight insight into our insanity and how we are great at this job, but also not, me and Frank agreed, let's do Rambo First Blood Part 2.
And I said, great, let's do a Rambo. Let's get it done. Like, that sounds fun.
And so I'm sitting down, middle of the day, doing the embarrassing move where my wife is home because she had a half day and took a nap. And I was like, I'm going to go watch a movie in the middle of the day.
You got your giant bucket of popcorn, your collector's AMC popcorn.
All buttery.
From Dante's Peak. And you got it all. You load it up with butter.
I'm texting Frank, get your complimentary AMC Volcano popcorn bucket ready.
Deep Impact.
I sit there, middle of the day, realize I've got a credit. I rent Rambo, pull up a new fresh notes file. Wait a second. Replace old file. We have done this fucking episode already, people.
Oopsie.
We're a bunch of dummies sometimes. We've done so many of these movies, it's hard to remember. Because also, if we're not doing that, we're watching the shit anyways.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like all of a sudden I'm like, let me just go back to pure film. Like, no, I'm like, let me go on a Godfrey Ho deep dive recently.
Oh, boy.
Clash of the Ninjas and being like, man, that's Joy Division. That's crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of just crazy music in those Godfrey Ho movies.
Well, We also, it may sound a little different than usual because we're back at Canon HQ.
We are the retooled, repurposed Canon HQ. We're doing this live for the first time in a while.
In a long while.
In a long, long while. And it's good to do it live. It's fun to do it live.
It's good to see your face.
It's good to stare right at you.
Yeah.
Just right in your eyes.
Just right at you. Just intensely. If we put this, a video of this, we put the microphones so close to each other. Oh. It's basically like... one mic stand right beside the other one.
Yeah.
You know that toilet sketch from SNL?
The love toilet.
The love toilet. Yeah. It's basically like that with our microphones.
And I was picturing the painting poster for No Retreat, No Surrender.
Yeah.
Where they've got the guy in JCVD like kissing right basically. There.
And then we're going to sing Endless Love.
Yeah, and it's going to be beautiful. Or we'll sing Send Me an Angel.
Send me an angel. Ooh.
But
it was like mandatory in every movie in 87 or 88 that they had to use that song.
My son, I've said, I think on this before, is currently obsessed with Kiss. Like he truly is. But his second obsession is the Rad soundtrack, the three songs, and mostly Send Me an Angel. So sometimes at 6:30 in the morning, he'll go in his room, slam the door and be like, Alexa, play Send Me an Angel. And this, spoiler for this, we still haven't even said the movie. Watching this reminded me, this is where I knew Send Me an Angel from.
I had never
really seen Rad.
Yeah.
Until maybe my 20s or 30s. Like, yeah. I knew it from this fucking movie.
This is where I first heard it, and I kind of have the most association. The second one is The Wizard.
That would probably be my second. Yeah. And I've had that if you go, I have said this before, if you look at my Roku, it is a list of... me, like 10 movies that currently I want to go to free streaming and not pay for because I'm like, do I really want to pay to see The Wizard? But I really want to watch The Wizard. Same with Nick Nolte's Extreme Prejudice. I've been waiting for that to come to Tubi for like 8 years at this point, it feels like.
I was in the middle of watching Your Highness on Amazon, and then it turned back to rental, and I was like, well, I'm not going to rent this.
Mid-watch? You took a break and then came back? Or...
yeah, literally, like, I was like, it was like the day before, and I stopped it, because I was like, oh, I got other shit to do than watch Your Highness. And then I came back the next day to finish it, and it was a rental. Wow. And I was like, God damn it.
The one problem we have with Amazon, they got to do carryovers. Other than that, Amazon's a perfect company. Luckily, that didn't happen when I watched Popstar the other day and remembered, this is one of the funniest movies ever. So either way, last second, we realize I'm sitting there. I go, ah, fuck. What the fuck? We can't do Rambo. So went to the list. Boom, baby. We had been talking about it on and off. We had to do it. This feels like we'll get into is it a could have been. It's definitely a loose. The sequel to end all sequels.
That's right.
And truly ended. Yeah. It should have ended all sequels because it's a terrible sequel.
Well, there were no more movie sequels.
There was no more movie sequels. There was...
a TV show.
And maybe the Saturday morning cartoon before or after.
Yes. No, the Saturday morning cartoon happened between, I think... No. I want to say it's probably around
it could be around
same time. Because that intro, I love that song. The song to... Teen Wolf, the
I mean,
cartoon.
I would like to, I don't necessarily want to watch the cartoon, but I would like to see if the mythos is as complicated as it is in this movie of how werewolves work.
I don't.
Because it just is
I think
mess.
It's pretty loose from what I remember. But what I loved about that opening to the animated series was that it was like rotoscoped.
Yes.
With a guy in the, and somehow that looks way better than the makeup
Good God.
For your main star, you have to spend a little bit more money.
Just a little. Did I even say the name? Did I even say that we are doing...
Digi-Dianita!
Teen Wolf 2!
2!
The movie that started the craze of not using a number, but using a word for a sequel. Maybe. I would like to know if this is...
Like, look who's talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, analyze this, analyze that. Meet the Fockers. Meet the Fockers.
Anything with what's his name? Robert De Niro.
Anything with Robert? Yes. The Intern 2 as well.
Yeah, the Terminator as well. Yeah, Terminator also.
Terminator as well. The Judgment Days.
Terminator 2 would be like if it was spelled T O O would be so funny to me.
Terminator 2, the robot with a heart.
And then they're like, yeah, that basically is what that movie is. Yes. But like, what's funny is like, if he actually said in the movie, I'm Terminator 2. And he goes, yeah. And then Edward Furlong's character goes,
like you mean like the number two? Like it's a number? Like you're like it's your serial number? He goes,
no, I mean like also
as well, variations on the such. Oh, okay. Watch out. Are we learning yet?
I did rewatch that the other day. Still holds up. Fantastic
so good.
Movie. Is my only problem that Bad to the Bone plays?
And, so much.
And that he reaches out and grabs the sunglasses. You're like, aesthetically, that makes sense. But this Terminator T-800 has been programmed for aesthetics.
Yeah.
Either way. So we are doing 1987's Teen Wolf 2. Now, This is, of course, the sequel to Michael J. Fox vehicle, Teen Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Was that his first starring film as well?
No, he had a film that he was like, he co-starred in.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was, but then this might have been his first starring
that then led to film. Secret of My Success and, you know, not Back to the Future. Don't pay attention to those, but
yeah,
Secret of My Success.
Like, yeah, Secret of My Success.
Doc Hollywood,
yes.
What a big,
Life with Mikey.
What a, your life with
that
my
was labeled
God,
up,
yes.
Yeah.
What a big weird stink, which also shows you just like the grossness of people. Like, I remember reading about when you don't read about things about the woman in Doc Hollywood got naked because it was like a shocking thing because she was an actress you wouldn't imagine sort of thing.
Right.
And I was like, everyone's a creep right away.
Yeah.
So this is the sequel. This is the Teen Wolf, I believe, did quite well. And Michael J. Fox did not want to do the makeup, according to IMDb.
Right.
And so Jason Bateman is brought in.
Straight from Silver Spoons. Ooh. And what's it? It's Your Move?
It's Your Move, yep. Yeah. Who do I picture that actor as? Harry Shearer Light in It's Your Move.
Oh, you mean like as a dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you're
dad.
Talking about. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Wasn't he Married with Children too?
No. He was the
original.
The husband of
Marcy.
Marcy before she realizes that she's queer.
Right. But then Ted McGinley
did that
came
become a part of the story or no?
It later.
So Ted like, McGinley after or Ted McGinley before she realizes
yes.
she's queer? Okay.
Yes.
Man, I mean, long history with Married with Children.
You know what? Let's do a retrospective right now.
You know what? Let's get into the progressive aspects of Married with Children, the original regressive sitcom.
Married with Padron.
I mean, if we could get Bud on or Christine Applegate, we would be a billionaire right now.
Christine Applegate.
Yeah. Oh. Man. But, you know, I loved/love, and I believe you will probably agree, Teen Wolf.
Yes.
I think it's a fantastic movie.
It's fun.
It's fun as hell. It works better than it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
It's more emotional than it needs to be.
It has, because of like, it's the using that classic like teen horror allegory of like, puberty.
Yep.
Or even in some cases, coming out.
Yep.
So it's like that mirror is there.
Did they get into that in the TV series?
No.
Feels like that.
Oh, in the TV series, you mean the MTV one?
Yeah.
Probably.
Just feels right.
It feels like,
to
yeah,
do that.
Exactly. For young people, like it's, yeah, they need to have some kind of like analogous representation for them to feel like, oh, that's what I'm going through.
Right.
But for the first one, it feels like puberty and like yes. figuring out like, okay, you're coming into your new self and
you're
like
not a how child can, anymore. You're yeah. an adult. You've got these new feelings. You're yeah. not really sure if you're maturing as much as other people.
Right.
The music is kind of perfect in that movie
yeah,
and
the
really
movie, yeah.
guides the emotion. But the Michael J. Fox. I mean, a lot of this. What I'm saying is to preface of like what doesn't work in Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
It's just Michael J. Fox. Like you're like oh you're. A great actor for this specific type of thing.
Yeah.
And you're giving like a pathos to it. Things in the movie and Teen will feel earned. They don't
yes.
just feel like a dumb teen comedy at yeah. all. It has one of the greatest training montage songs ever, Win in the End, which I used in a short film right out of college with Joe Latrullio acting in it. And it's truly one of my favorite songs. And then there's Teen Wolf 2.
It's there.
It's there, and it always is reminding you of the movie you're not watching, which is that we've come up with that before.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think while I was watching, like, what are some other episodes we've had where we've noticed that, where it's like not just that the sequel's just not living up to what it was, like the original one, it's not kind of furthering the story, but truly is just like more pissing in your face at a certain point of like, remember how this worked? Now it doesn't.
Remember when they would do this in horror movies at the time, though, where it'd be like they can't get the main star or whatever, so they'd be like, oh, it's their cousin or blood relative, and they continue the legacy of whatever.
Yes.
And that's like, they kind of use that for this, and you're like, so it's his cousin.
Right.
Who the dad is driving to college. I know my uncle always drove me
all
to
the time.
Like, my
uncle
important
Carl looking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's and what it is like. If we gave the kind of actually, let me see what IMDb says.
Oh boy,
Todd Howard is a struggling college student. Nothing seems to be going very well for him until he turns into a wolf. That's what we call a literal description.
That sounds like a description I would have given in grade school when I saw this.
Why are we worried about AI? AI's already working on our IMDb
right.
descriptions. Yeah.
He was the cousin of Teen Wolf, and then he also became a wolf later on because one time he got angry and his eyes got red, and then he's like, oh, he does have the wolf gene in him, and then he didn't want to use it, but he did, and then he lost his way as well. But then he learned a lesson from it, and then he became the Teen Wolf too, and he won on his own merits.
And then he was unself-aware or self-aware enough to realize he was in a sequel called T-O-O, enough to put it on a license plate.
And T-shirts.
And T-shirts. Living in, I mean, we'll
in
get
the shadow
into,
of
living
Scott.
In the shadow of Scott is such an odd concept of this movie. Here's the biggest, like, to find the way to connect it in the craziest way. It is like Scott Howard is Paul Walker in the Fast and the Furious series now.
Yes, yes.
Like, he exists, but only in the weirdest, like, is he dead
right.
sort of way.
That would have been funny if they took Family Ties footage and try to, like, him just nodding, like, in approval. And it's so obviously like different.
I don't remember
quality.
Him wearing a tie ever.
Yeah. Why is he holding a picture of Reagan?
It truly is just take the Teen Wolf movie, shove it into college.
Yes.
Repeat the almost the same exact beats.
Yeah.
But make it worse. Take the sport. Like, Frank has had to deal with me talk about it. It's one of the reasons we wanted to do this for so long, but I have been talking about this for years. Just the craziest concept that an entire school's financial backing seems to be based around their collegiate boxing team.
I want our listeners to tell us, to let us know, are there big boxing college leagues?
Yeah.
I don't know. And especially in the 80s, because the way it's like it is collegiate because they're wearing the pads and
yep.
stuff, and it's not like a straightforward, like,
no.
you know, big boxing match, but they treat it like it is
yes.
at the school.
And is it just because of that one donor and because John Astin likes to box? Like,
I don't know.
He's the Norman Mailer of this fucking movie.
So much so that at this college, they allow a bikini-clad woman to do the rounds.
Much like the mythology of werewolfism that we will talk about doesn't make any sense. Yes, how... please, if anyone knows about collegiate boxing, do they do Vegas-style showgirl title card, round card girls? Because that seemed off-putting to throw in right at the end.
At a college.
At a college.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking a student.
Yes.
And letting that student...
Yeah.
This is a student... Who has been in a threesome with Todd at one point?
Oh boy, yeah.
And you know, pissing off Bizarro Boof, only kind of. But yeah, and his just like, screw it. I'll also now be a Vegas showgirl for no particular.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, like, there's a lot of confusing parts about this. And also, if you know a lot about college boxing, let us know that if you are a piss-poor basketball high school coach, if those skills can translate to being a piss-poor boxing coach. I guess the piss-poor translates, but...
Wait, that's supposed to be... It's not the same actor, but it's supposed to be the same guy?
I was waiting for him to be a cousin too, because he's kind of doing the same game.
Right.
He's kind of doing the character game of like, here's the rambling story that ends up that I don't know what the point was joke, and he eats all the time.
Yeah, but
no, they're the same actor.
That's what they're not the same actor.
I mean, same character.
They're the same. So why? So, why would you do that? If it's not the same actor, just get a new, just make it a new character. There's no reason to have him go to that. Also for Chubbs or Chubby to...
Chubby.
To
the laziest nickname Styles, for the fat character.
Exactly. And then Style... Like, also, you're going to recast one of the biggest also... Like, you can't get another kind of... You could easily do a Styles without being Styles.
So I should
have... He's at college!
I know. I should have done... usually I do, I'll go and look and see if BNS About Movies has done an entry, and I have it. I forgot to check. I'm only going off of, like, there was not many IMDb facts, and it was not a lot of Wikipedia facts. According to, I think, IMDb, Styles and the coach were involved, and then got recast, like maybe during shooting, or, like, right before shooting. So they were gonna be there.
Is Squeeze Me?
Baking powder?
Why?
You had?
What, you had them, and then what? They were... too rowdy, or they wanted too much
money?
That's
what I need to know, is like, what was it, some money dispute?
It has to be.
Michael J. Fox was just like, and even that I don't completely believe, is just he didn't want to deal with the makeup.
Yeah, I don't think that was the issue.
If I'm looking at, and we'll get into it with our facts in a second, it seems like there were a lot of hands in this one. It seems like, especially the writing credits seem confusing, where like, I felt like I looked down at one point, and I was like, did they ever... put up a credit of who actually wrote it.
Yeah.
There was story by, characters by, and then I feel like I missed it. But also, I'm guessing, I don't know much about this hand.
Hands. Because of the opening has so many garbage production titles.
Yes.
That you're like, ooh, even this feels cheap.
Atlantic Recording Corporation or whatever, looks like you and I made it as a retro production company. But also, I don't really know his dad produced it. Jason Bateman's dad is a producer, so there's also the oddness of like, this is his son's first movie. He was
Kent
a child.
Bateman.
Like, yes. And I don't know enough about his relationship with Justine and you know, like, I've listened to Smartless once or twice because my brother suggested, and then I listen to him, I'm like, I don't know, this is for normos maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
He seems charming enough. Yeah, I don't know.
He's fine.
They seem to make homophobic jokes about their one, like, that guy from Will and Grace.
Yeah,
like,
Sean Hayes, yeah.
But I guess that's, you know, you do with your friends is the concept of that show.
Right.
But I feel like the main thing I've been interested in listening is, like, when he talks about being a child star and, like, how fucked was it? Like,
yeah, and especially in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the track record of that time. Yeah. So, but yeah, there is the production companies felt like they were going downhill as time went on.
As it went on, they just kept being like, oh, cool, MGM, all right. And then you're like, okay,
Canon put in their hand on the video makes it go up. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's hard to tell sometimes. But yeah, so I mean, I guess like let's do our facts so we can talk about this thing.
Teen Wolf 2 came out on November 20th, 1987, and it was directed by Christopher Leitch. L-E-I-T-C-H. I got this wrong last time when we covered Universal Soldier, because that's what we know him as a director of. And it was written by Jeff Loeb, Matthew Wiseman, and Tim Kring. And if you know those names, you're probably a comic book fan, because a lot of, like, Jeff Loeb is known for The Long Halloween, one of the best Batman.
Oh, I didn't know
graphic
that.
Run Superman for all seasons. But he also wrote Commando as well. are one of the writers on Commando.
Well, okay.
Yeah, and same with Matthew Weisman, Commando first and then Teen Wolf also. And then, like, I believe they have original writing credit. Tim Kring, which, if you know that name, you know from Heroes, the television show that vastly dipped off in the second season because of the last writer's strike.
Yeah.
And just killed it.
Got to throw out support for that writer's strike.
Yeah.
And for the... maybe strike the now. Actor,
by the time that this comes out, I may be on.
You might. We'll go down to once a month because Frank has to,
yeah, because it's double strike. But
because that's the thing though too is like, and we were saying with all the names, just because we're on the writers, like it says story by and characters by, so they because
from
they
the first one, yeah,
Teen Wolf. But then I'm guessing Tim Kring got brought in.
They said we need the Kring juice.
We got to get that Kring juice, baby. And Kring's like, Kring it up. And so you can maybe tell the piecemealness of here's the stuff that we did, and then we got to do this, and then also maybe this doesn't work, but fuck it, we're gonna a lot of cooks here. The writing seems messy.
The writing seems messy in a way that's like, again, like they have a beat structure being like, these are the beats from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved it over to a whiteboard.
Yep.
And they said, now let's apply it to this. And they just filled in the blanks.
And then every once in a while, Tim Kring would be like, I don't know if boxing works for this story beat. And then they'd be like,
who cares? We have the Boxing Association. They donated. And that's why there has to be a reason why it's boxing. Out of all the sports in college that it could be, that he could be good at, that they're like, he would excel at, so many different, football, baseball, tennis, soccer.
The other part too, almost all of those that you listed, which is one of the biggest problems with that as a plot point,
wrestling,
is that most of those are also team sports.
Yes.
So it plays into the idea of, in the first one, it's basketball, and he gets in his head, and he becomes kind of cocky, and he's not looking out for the team.
Right.
And it's not a matter of like, guys, I think we can do this even without the wolf if we work as a team. That's like your basic structure. When he's like this, he's like, yes, we are a team in theory, but it's individualized matches.
Right. It's like one act play, but for boxing, where you only go one round or something.
And they shouldn't work as a team because Chubbs is a terrible boxer, and... I know Michael J. Fox is short, so that can play into basketball, but like the team can work together. If you are not strong with boxing, you're not going to all of a sudden be able to take a massive beating because of one night of training with your uncle.
Exactly.
Who, in theory, boxed, surprise.
And he's also like, he gives him, I mean, this is moving ahead, way ahead to the end, but like him just being like, uppercut,
right?
And it's like, oh yeah, like that was what turned it for him. He was against the ropes and he did an uppercut, and all of a sudden this guy's like, the fuck was that? And then he gets his ass beat.
He should turn into the wolf just for the sake of his brain.
Yes,
and brain damage, like
fight or flight, right? But we have no inkling that he has got it under control,
right?
Or that
that's
he
an
can
amazing
control.
Point, by the way, Frank, so this movie theorizes, part of the mythology of at least Todd Howard is that he doesn't have a fight or flight. He is able to turn it off.
Yeah.
Because that is something that takes 20 to 40 years of therapy to be able to actually turn off the fight or flight functionality that is inherent in the animal part.
Yeah.
So he is a uber human who can turn off the animal.
Uber Minch.
Uber Wolf.
Yeah.
So yeah, ridiculous.
Well, I'll move on.
Yeah, we got it. See, we got so much to say, people.
I thought this was going to be a short one, but 1987, we got Three Men and a Baby, Fatal Attraction, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Good Morning Vietnam, Moonstruck, The Untouchables, The Secret of My Success. Stakeout. He was busy. So,
he was busy. Yeah. I don't think it was just the makeup.
Lethal Weapon and The Witches of Eastwick. So I went to the worldwide box office.
Whoa.
Where do you think this landed?
87.
93. And it beat House 2, the second story.
Oh, the funniest of the houses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Bill Maher, you kill it, baby, every time.
Oh, Bill Maher. My God. Okay. Bill, that new show, that talk show he has where he's like smoking weed while he talks to his guests, just like the worst fucking.
Incorrigible. So, yeah, this is messy.
To say the least.
To say the least. To say the most. It is weird, like we've talked about already a little bit. It's weird that it's messy in that it's so conformed to the structure.
Yes.
So it weird that it's like that's the watching it with this like canon eye, I was like fascinated by the fact that you can get messy by being so formulaic to a specific movie and so yes. bound to a made up mythos. Like it, and again, I kept thinking because it's on my brain, the Fast and Furious franchise, where you're like, wait, you're gonna bring back a thing that we didn't agree upon as a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there'll be these little moments, mostly thinking of Fast X, it's just a weird movie, that you'll be like, I don't think we needed to have a reference to this 1 2-second part in the second movie, sort of thing.
Yeah, I have a question for you,
please.
So this is not the same town that Scott was in. Okay, so the first Teen Wolf, was Scott like a national sensation or was it just a local sensation?
Frank, you hit upon a wonderful question that leads to a wonderful point that we will both make, not just me. What is the mythology of not just werewolves? Because that gets messy of how werewolves work. When he gets dropped off by his uncle, who is Scott's dad, Michael J. Fox's dad in the first one. Yeah, there's a whole thing about, like, the uncle who wanted to hide it. Like, Scott was like, he was like basically, like, people hunt you down if they find out. And in theory, maybe Teen Wolf, it always was a question in the first one if it got past the town or not.
Yeah.
You would think the news, the AP would pick up on this. You know, who knows? Right. At least AP News Weird. It would be a Florida Man style story for SNL Weekend Update jokes. But he turns into the wolf while he's driving into the campus, and people are noticing.
And they're like, oh,
hey, yeah, they're having like, fun with it.
And then Bateman's character, Todd, is like, I hate when you do that. And it's like, what? Is this a thing? And then also, if this is a different town, do they accept this? Or are they like, holy shit, it's a werewolf?
Well, because then that's what the thing is, like, why I said that first line is a big chunk of this movie, and it clearly felt like an idea they thought was funny but is confusing, is everyone keeps calling him a dog. He turns into a werewolf because he gets horny.
Yes.
Because he goes to some event, and the blonde girl replica, simulacra from the first movie who's there,
right,
gets him to have a dog boner. His red lipstick comes out, and he turns into a gross-looking werewolf because the makeup is hideous in this.
It's so bad.
And then everyone thinks he's a dog. They keep saying he's a dog. They put, say, no dog signs on his door. They put dog food out. Every insult is about him being a dog. I don't want to be near that dog. They start pranking him in class with fleas.
Fleas, which
dogs.
Was like... What?
Yeah.
It felt, there's so many 80s films that feel like, oh, an 8-year-old wrote this. Like, they're playing with toys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way this movie felt, is where it's like, there's like, and then this thing happens, and then this thing. It's never because of the last thing that happened.
Yeah.
It's just, and then this, and then this. And then, like, being like, well, what's a way that we can prank him?
Right.
Or, like, really stick it to him? Fleas.
Right.
Which work.
Yeah.
Where he's like, and it's like, well, wouldn't that be the case for everyone? Just not because just he's a werewolf.
They're trained fleas. They went just to him. The guy who's literally sitting right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems fine.
He has like a little flute that he's playing that he like, and nobody pays attention to him. They're just like, no, that's his deal. But he's really like a wizard. And they got like this whole supernatural thing going on.
That's the subplot that people don't pick up on.
They don't pick up on it.
There's a flea sub wizard there.
Yeah. You can control. It's like Rat Catcher, but with fleas.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, no one seems to know about it then at the college. But at the beginning, it seemed like they do know about it.
Yeah.
And then Styles is psyched Because part of the mythos of this is that it skips generations, and yes, he's not sure if he's going to be a wolf or not, which then gets taken into the cartoon. They use that, the little girl wants to be a werewolf, right, she's dressed up like a werewolf, blah, blah, blah. And so, but then that part of the plot doesn't matter because he does turn into wolf kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And then
when that happened, it's like, okay, right, so there's that.
I get, yeah, so that happens. So connecting to that then too, because like with this mythos, so this is the main part of the plot that I always had umbrage with, is that so he is smart. He's a science whiz. He wants to become a veterinarian.
Which,
it just is like, this isn't like a shade on veterinarian, but it was just like they keep setting it up like, I'm going to do quantum physics.
Yeah, or something like that. But it's like, no, he wants to. And also, it's like, I feel like it's a bad joke to be like, of course he wants to be a vet.
That's why it feels like the 8-year-old writing this. Exactly. Because it's like, no, but like, you're like, his advisor should be like, I think you might be in the wrong school. Right. We don't have a school for veterinary. Like, you need to take this biology class and then go to this and this and this.
Explain to me how this mistake happened again. He gets a scholarship.
So, also, by the way, he makes a joke that maybe isn't a joke that didn't make sense. I said jokes about how his research was on crustacean reproduction. And again, I was like, what does this have to do? You're a marine biologist now. That's not a veterinarian. But
yeah,
the mistake happened. So he's going to this school, not because he has great grades, but he has a full scholarship because they want him to be on their boxing team. The coach from the basketball team from Scottstown. Do we ever say, I thought it was like California with the haze, but Scott's from Colorado.
Right.
Going off of the license plate for what I remember, even though they shoot in Pasadena all the time in that movie. But so that basketball coach has now become a boxing coach and also transmorgified into a new, oddly looks like his cousin also, but isn't him. And so then he has maybe to save his own job, has convinced John Astin, who is the angry dean, who wants his boxing team to do well so that they can get funding, that Scott should get a full scholarship. Here's my question then to you off of the question you are asking me. Did he get this? Did that coach tell John Astin about the fact that he was a wolf? Or some crazy idea that John Astin has that this kid was good at basketball, so his cousin must be athletic as well, even though they make a joke multiple times about how he only played clarinet in the marching band. So it gets unclear. I thought that John Astin knew he would become a wolf, and then he seems shocked by it, but then is like, keep that wolf away from me, but stay the wolf, because it feels like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, and have the carryover of John Astin being the character of the principal.
Yeah.
From the first one, who doesn't like Scott. But the justification for that, again, why I think that movie works as a good movie, is that he knew Scott's dad as when they were kids, and yep, he was a bully, and he wanted to date Scott's mom, yep, and then Scott's dad turned into a werewolf and made him piss himself. Yes. And so he's always held a grudge because he never got the love of his life, etc. In this case, John Astin just wants,
he's just a weird John Astin. Just gets weird to be John Astin.
He's just John Astin,
which,
yeah,
I love. And you know what, like, John Astin is the best part of this movie, because yes, you're just like, he's just so electric on screen, and you just love like him just like eating it up in his weirdness, and right, he's just like, and he has this dog, and it's just like, it's such a weird, it feels like a Groundlings character just plopped, yeah, into this movie.
He's like, oh good,
yeah, exactly. But it just, oh, back to the dog thing where they, yeah, keep, I feel like they just took that one part from the first movie where they're at the dance and he's like, your mother ate chickens or whatever, stole eggs from the chicken coop or whatever, and right, it's like, so just to like say, like, make the dog joke, and they're like, let's use that and use it for the whole thing,
right? It yeah, it all ends up being so oddly confusing because, yeah, I don't know ultimately, like, I don't know if this is a worldwide thing,
yeah,
or they kept it small. Styles seems psyched and not, and he's like I was waiting for this.
The whole reason Styles is there is to wait for the wolf to come out so he could relive his party days,
right, which in is the depressing first one, as
and
fuck,
expose, like, exploit him. And then also, I thought that was Boner. The guy, the actor playing, I thought it was Boner, but it's not Boner.
I was the same deal. I thought it was Boner, Stabone from Growing Pains. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for clarifying for our younger listeners. But I have a feeling most of our listeners are our age or older.
I got a feeling we don't have to worry.
No.
So yeah, it is. I don't know. I think that's part of the frustrating part of this not great movie is you're just like none of this. You shouldn't leave it with so many questions, and
What's your history with this movie?
I mean, I watched Teen Wolf a lot, and then I guess ultimately then, like, I watched this a surprising amount, too.
Dude,
like,
I did, too.
It was on HBO all the time, I think.
It was also on, for me, it was UHF weekend showings.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, anybody could get this movie for a good price. Because I think I've seen this as a kid more than Teen Wolf. Because Quite of how possibly. Readily available it was. I think I saw this at the movie theater. Because I would have been 5 when this came out. And that's the time, I mean, I was going to the movie theater since I could remember. Right. But this was the time my mom was like taking me like every weekend.
Sure.
And I'm positive I saw it because I remember once she made me turn around when the bikini lady or the lady when she comes out of the door.
The slightest of phantom tingles with that one.
Dude, there was a couple of moments in this movie where I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, even not Boof, you know, like I was like, she's like that first time she shows up, I was like,
I had a crush on Boof in the first one.
Me too, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's where I also, like, I had a crush on Boof. I had a crush on the woman from Real Genius.
Yes, yes.
Like, it was just, like, who I was like, I think she's got, like, a hair lip. Like, she's got, like, a mustache, and I still, like, into her. Like, just, like, so not traditional.
Yeah.
And same with this woman. This, again, another part of Boof ended up getting there, but Boof played that weird level of like in Karate Kid where even as a kid I was just like, oh, it's an interesting choice that they made it that Elizabeth Shue didn't really get with him.
Yeah.
Like it kind of just didn't get there.
Yeah.
And Boof was like a little bit more in between, but then at the end I guess they did get together. In this one I was just like, who is this abused bizarro Boof this guy found?
Like she is meek as hell and just a doormat in all forms. And you're like, you feel bad for her because you're like, oh, honey.
I think I really like you. I think I really love you. Like, that, I was like, run to the hills if Jason Bateman's saying that
to
you. What
a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing, too, because, like, in Teen Wolf, I don't want to lose my train of thought because I had another point to make before about, anyway, I'll remember. There's so much to talk about. Yeah. So, in Teen Wolf, when he turns into the wolf, there's a lot of like, he's not immediately a jerk.
No.
When he turns into the wolf, it's a little bit of like feeling it out and him being like expecting to be a freak and like shunned, but then he ends up being popular. And because they accept him for who he is and they like this version of him as opposed to Scott, he starts to get this ego. The ego runs away from him. He doesn't start off like all of a sudden you become a werewolf and you're a prick.
Right.
And in this one, immediately he turns into a werewolf and he's the biggest asshole and he's not even like he's an asshole.
Yeah, not
and
charming.
Scott in the first one felt like a party dude, right? He's including everyone. Everybody's like he wants the party and he's never really a dick. But in this one he's like doing legitimately like trying to knock a guy off a bike with his
violence. Yeah.
He's violent. He's trying to kill a man.
Scott is closer to what's his name in Can't Buy Me Love.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where Dempsey it's just like, more of like he's a dick, but in the like high school way where like you're unclear of the fact that like you're getting accepted by a group you didn't think you'd get accepted by and you're confused. And I felt like Michael J. Fox gave across that idea pretty well, like of that basic idea of just like, wait, I don't know how to deal with my old friends versus my new friends. And that maybe the new friends aren't as good as the old friends, or that maybe even the old friends aren't as good as like all the combinations. Versus, yeah, I was like, is it just the situation? Is it the fact of like, I think a percentage is that, like, I like Jason Bateman a lot as an actor, but that's his too. Thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially young Jason Bateman wasn't, like, it would be harder pressed to do the very special episode of Family Ties where, like, a friend dies of drunk driving.
Right.
With Jason Bateman at that time, because he's, like, Michael J. Fox, it looks like he's play acting at being cocky, which feels realer, versus Jason Bateman's whole thing. It Takes, what was that show? It Takes Two, but the one we were talking about before.
It's Your Move.
It's Your Move. The whole thing was about him being a fucking, like, well, fucking with this guy. And same with even Hogan Family. Like,
yeah, and also, like, Silver Spoons, too.
And Silver Spoons, like,
so he's
like
kind
of
already known as, like, a jerk.
Arrested Development was the way to convert it.
Right.
Or, like, but that worked as well, because then it was sometimes where you're like, wait, Michael's in the wrong, or whatever.
Yeah, his name. Like, but he's still, like, got this confidence that's part of the family.
He's
where
just,
like,
doing it for the family, and the moments right. that really worked were when you're like, wait a second, he's doing
it
for
himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus it, yeah, in this, it's what you said, like, he is a dick.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help, because they use the moves of the last one, but wrong and truncated, so, like, he turns into the wolf. Everyone keeps calling him a dog. Second scene, they are at that party.
Yeah.
With Styles being like, I've set up a choreographed dance of him
so
he could sing Do You Love Me?
Okay, this whole thing really blew my mind, where I was just like, what the fuck is this? Where everybody knows the dance, and also it just feels so bad.
Yes.
Like, it just, the makeup is so bad, the dancing, the commitment, everything about it is like, why is this here? This didn't happen. And the dance, they, like, pick up on the werewolf.
Yes. The, oh my
dance,
god,
right?
So is it universal or isn't it?
here's what works in the first movie is that it's a simple dance move, right? And people are like, hey, yeah, and they're kind of catching up on this. But this one's like, this is your cue. This is your cue. This is your cue. Let's flip. Let's twirl our skirts around. Like,
right.
Ugh.
And it
feels like, one of my, Michael Bolton Valentine's Day special,
yeah,
that Lonely Island did,
yeah,
where it's a good time rock and roll.
Right.
He's, like, pointing at the guitars, and they have the backup dancers. And then they go to the Michael Shannon thing where he's like, the punks are going to show up.
That's the thing. Like, where is, I think it has that tone throughout sometimes too that drives me, like, where it's like, where's the corny police? Like, where is anyone being like, this is lame? This college sucks.
It has the potential.
It has nerds dancing.
It has the potential to be subversive like that, where, because the tone of it's already weird from the beginning. It feels weird. It feels like a weird, like, low budget horror. Without being a horror.
Because that haunting?
Yes, the
college
score.
College song.
I was like, at the beginning,
like,
yes.
Tornadito.
Which comes back at the end,
yeah,
or whatever. But it's still like, yeah, when I was watching, I was like, it feels like a weird dreamlike. And then when John Astin's character, and then just the lighting of the university too, and everything just feels like
I do
so kind of weird.
The music is key, like, because it's like, if you're thinking about the Teen Wolf score, you've got that, like, merging of 80s synth that could be in a teen comedy, but horror-y, where it's like, don't.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Like, yeah. John Murray just shared that with me, like, recently. He's like, God, I forgot how good this song is.
Yeah.
And then combined with Win in the End, which is a very serious, like, but it's like, versus this is all, like, leaning with the haziness, too.
Yeah.
Like, of a haunting fucking omen.
Exactly. That's what it felt like to me. And I was like, this is so, it's been so long since I've seen it. And it's like, it's so weird to me. It just got such a weird tone. And, you know, maybe what doesn't help is you don't just get one, you get two Oingo Boingo songs.
I mean, Oingo,
era Oingo.
It's incredible that Oingo Boingo showed up on every soundtrack.
Every single
such a
one.
Weird band.
Well, that's just like the thing where it's like he was made for doing film scores because
yeah,
they were already in a ton of movies.
Who do you want to be today?
I like got up and I started like
yeah,
dancing
exactly.
and skanking.
And I love Oingo Boingo. And, like,
I
but,
do.
And Send Me an Angel is an unbelievable song.
Right.
But, like, they feel actually weirdly shoved in to a score that
yeah,
feels like it's for the wrong movie. Like,
I Need a Hero, Send yeah, Me an Angel were the ones used the most.
Yes.
And
yes,
still get used the most.
Yes. And so, yeah, it is. He's just a dick. He's a dick throughout. And yeah, like, he's got Chubbs in that car that John Astin gives him, like that I said, that has Wolf 2 spelled T-O-O.
So he's supportive of it, but he's not.
Right. And, but yeah, and but then also, like, Wolf 2 in regards to what? If you use the word T-O-O, and that's what you were saying before, it's like he's in the shadow of Scott.
Yeah.
Which is a weird reminder to us of the, as the audience, and a cousin issue, not a daddy issue, that's played into this. Because also his family is somehow non-existent. I don't really know where they are. It doesn't matter.
They just exist. Like, yeah. Maybe they got eaten or killed by village people. Like, I don't know. Yes.
Well, here's a question too of logic. Is this freshman year for Todd, Stiles, and Chubbs? Because
that's...
Stiles does his Stiles shit, but unclear why he's doing it. It's more of like a party animal, like trying to get this guy laid. Which honestly, I don't think even that's a Stiles thing. Like, I know it would be college, but Stiles thing is just more about like, let's fucking party and fucking smoke weed. So he changes all of Scott's science classes just to basically get to the set piece to replicate Scott getting the beer at the beer store scene, but now with a different, with an old lady, not an old person in the registrar. But he says that I got you intro to French cooking or something. And then Chubbs' response was, great class, took it twice already. I'm going to take it again. So has Chubbs been there?
I guess, yeah, maybe it's been a few classes. Years, and then he just happened to be in the same college and requested that dorm room. And
Uncle Howard definitely knows Stiles, and he's like, he was. Like, I got hooked on the word. I believe he says he was Scott's best friend in high school.
So what happened there? What happened, man?
What happened? What happened, Stiles? And he's worried about Stiles because he knows Stiles can do some shit.
Yeah.
But also, is he worried because he wants Scott... Todd to hide being a wolf? No. So what exactly is he worried about? That Stiles is a representation of American capitalism, but
yes,
much like American capitalism and much like the sequel, he will somehow make worse product to sell. Like, even the frisbee that
that he catches with his mouth. He
catches with his mouth wearing the most ill-fitting fucking fedora.
And he was dressed like Corey Feldman.
Dressed like Corey Feldman. And he jumps to catch a crappier looking flying disc because they had a flying disc, I think, in the first one.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good. I could be wrong on that. I'm pretty sure they did with a better design. But it's just like, oh, we'll recapitalize on this thing that already worked and make it shittier.
I think that's what the falling out was about royalties. And like, he kept too much of that. Yeah. He's like, well, you're using my likeness.
Exactly. And Stiles had him at a minimum 60-40 split. And then he tried to bump it up to 70 because production costs were going up, is what he said.
Exactly. He said inflation. Yeah. He's like, you know, it's necessary. I'm doing all the work. You wouldn't have been printing these things.
And then Scott's like, you haven't made any new designs. All you've made is that
the
one design.
Same one.
Like lines making a wolf.
The one looks like Rude Dog a little bit.
It does look like Rude Dog. It's like a precursor to the rudimentary mascot. It is confusing. And I also say confusing wise, like, it's not ever, not that Teen Wolf was funny, but Stiles is a super funny character.
Right.
But like, it's the tone is unclear. Like, even just the fact that I think John Astin's character's name is, where is it? Dean Dunn, Dean of Men.
See, that's a joke. There was a couple of like...
That's a joke?
That's from the beginning. You're like, this is like a Three Stooges, you know.
Yes.
And We Cheat 'Em and How or something like that. You know, like one of those.
Yes. But if it's an And We Cheat 'Em but How but doesn't
or
add
How We
to
Cheat
anything.
'Em. Or wait, yeah, I forgot what the thing is. The joke
right,
is, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, the dog in the sea, the thing, like, it's just, like, all these, like, weirder elements.
Yeah.
But it's also, so, like, just to continue, like, and, you know, because that's what we're doing, we're jumping around, all the weirdness of this, is, like, what, like, so, Chubbs is maybe a freshman, maybe been there a couple of years. He definitely was a basketball player, but then became a boxer.
Yes.
But that also means he was... Did he get brought over by the same coach?
I think so.
Because he clearly does. He tries to wrestle all the time.
Right.
And he's been maybe doing this for a couple of years if he's not a freshman.
Yeah.
But also, I realized, like, you know, they tried to play, like we talked about a little bit before, the main, one of the main plot things is, like, Scott becomes really good at basketball. They're all really happy because they're actually winning. And then they start to realize that he's a showboat. Like, yeah. And in this case, they, like, touch upon that that is a thing with, like, one shot of Chubbs kind of looking to the side. Yeah. Like, oh, no, like, yeah, we're doing this again.
Yeah.
But then they never go back to it until the end when he basically makes the speech of, like, come on, guys, we can do this. The same thing Michael J. Fox does. But you're like, it wasn't an issue.
He's like, he'll get to, he gets to box because he's in that weight class.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so wait, you were doing all the other fights, but even though you weren't in the weight class, like, was he just doing all the fights and they were sitting on the benches?
Right. There might not be anything in the rule book about a dog or a werewolf boxing, but there right. certainly still is, at least in collegiate, although this is collegiate. And again, if you people know anything about it that we don't, this is collegiate boxing that has, you know, chicks in with car in bikinis, but like he can't just jump to other weight classes unless because he's the wolf he can make more.
But then that's weight. The thing, people would probably have a problem being like, well, he has supernatural powers, he's not going to go against my son who's normal, like
right now. It's a different game,
yeah,
than basketball where it's a skill thing.
Yeah. And he's a mythical
maybe
creature.
You'll get an elbow, maybe there'll be an elbow where you'll get a flag or yeah. whatever or penalty. Versus this is like, no, this will murder someone.
Yeah, it's a mythical creature
who has
insane strength.
Yes.
And now going up against young 20-year-olds, I don't know.
Young 20, I mean, this also, look, we've done this for so long, we should never completely be calling out, man, these teenagers, these college kids look like 40-year-olds, but like,
yeah.
they really look like fucking, like that bad guy who looks kind of like the guy from Party Animal.
Yes, yes.
Not with the license plate Knockout, but N-O-K-O-U-T.
That's what it was. I was like, what is
Nook?
Nookout? I thought he was like Russian or something. I am the goat.
But he definitely looks like he's 42.
Yeah, he's got that like 80s, like kind of like fluffy, thinner hair.
Yes.
And then the shades, Aviators. And he wears the cutoff, you know, yep. like all that.
He's driving a Trans Am. Like he's like a fucking like 6-year freshman. Like
yeah.
he's like, my God.
What I also don't get is like he's like they keep harping on the fact that he's a freshman. And in college, I never unless you're like in a frat, right? Mm-hmm. Which I never was, nope. but that's the only time in college people are like, freshman!
Yeah.
Because otherwise people are like, we're adults, we don't give a shit.
It's certainly a trope that you are grown to, it's like the quicksand of college. You think you're going to worry yeah. about it more in life, and then you realize it's not a thing.
Nobody yeah. cares, yeah.
It didn't really, I don't remember, I mean, the biggest problem with being a freshman was just you couldn't take certain classes.
Out. Yeah, and then also figuring out the campus and all that
figure out the
shit,
campus, yeah. But like, for me, that was my biggest thing, was just like, oh, I wanted to take production classes, I have to wait till junior year. Like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Other than that. I mean, I had enough issues getting laid anyway, so it was just like, it wasn't because I was a freshman.
But you were the you took some of your hair and you pasted it onto your face.
I did,
and
I
you
did.
Said I'm a Teen Wolf too.
I
and
am people a teen are wolf like three. Yeah. They're like that line doesn't work, kid.
Teen Wolf the.
yeah. Though. So and also. So with this mythology too, just to go back quickly to, because again, all this will be jumping around, because it's like, if you want the plot, go watch the fucking first movie.
Yeah.
And it's this, it's but that. his main science teacher is also the mother from Better Off Dead.
Yes, yes,
who,
yes.
Did they give her like a wolf haircut? Is that what
they
the
did? And at first I was like, oh, it's Zool. But then I was like,
she's got Zool.
She's got Zool hair. And I remembered it wasn't because I remember parts of this movie very vividly. Yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she's a wolf because then she growls at one of the. I wasn't sure if it was John Astin or who was it that she would growl at. And then, like, it happened. And I was like, oh, that's why I remember.
She does the same move that Uncle Howard does yes. to the other guy. But it's, again, unearned because she's had no relationship with him before that. Besides the fact that Todd is getting passed through classes.
Right, where she's like, well, you could take the test tomorrow. But that's right before the match. Is like, well, you got enough time. And it's like,
I'll say, too, she is not a good teacher because, like, look, we've had to do grading even on the sketch level. And, like, he does the test. And he goes, that's about as good as I can do. And all she does is she goes, well, looks like you did well enough to pass.
She like kind of browsed through it and being like, yep, I guess that's good enough.
So she,
that is favoritism.
Exactly. So she fucks with this guy, but then shows off that she's got fucking wolf eyes.
Yeah.
Just a growl. And has a tail, which is not a thing that is a part of
drove weird. Me fucking crazy, Jeff. Where I was like, oh. Out of all the things they could have shown, a giant tail that is, it's giant, it's huge.
Humongous.
It is humongous, and it's like going up from her skirt, and it's like yeah. kind of wagging around. And it's like, Scott never had that. This wolf doesn't have that. So why does she have a giant tail?
She can control it enough that you can just poop it out of your butt right whenever you want.
Maybe that's the thing, that it like folds up.
Is the idea,
and it springs out like one of those, yeah. like, yeah.
Is the idea also just wolfing? And that I guess it happened in Teen Wolf as well. And maybe it's somehow they were thinking of something with puberty, but it's like, it's painful the first time, and then after that, turn it on and off like a switch. Hair just goes like, zeep, zeep, zeep,
zeep, zeep. And they just cut away to where like yes. they change back and change.
But I guess that goes along too with, you know, so that she's the woman from Better Off Dead is his academic advisor. But why doesn't she just Scatman Crothers from The Shining? Like in this world, like he's just like, hey, do you see these things? My grandmother used to call it Shining. You've got The Shining too. It's a gift. She's doing the like, I know things can be difficult if you're different.
I thought they were going to hook up. I thought it was going to be an 80s move where he's going to hook up with teachers yes. too, and it's going to be like...
And Bizarro Boof's going to walk in and yeah. be like, my heart's broken again. I gave it
How
away.
How could you?
Yes. Also, by the way, the main way he really got her fucking horny as hell is how they did that scene is that she's looking for a certain type of slide, and basically he can just read.
He basically what he did was he put on glasses, and like even she called him out. It's a nice flirty scene. It's a little sexy. Oh, yeah. They made a connection, so it works. It works.
And then he mansplains her. He's just like, try turning it on next time. He's a dick already.
Oh, no, it's all in him. It just brought it out. That maybe that's the thing. It's like the Soldier Super Serum, right? Yeah. You know, or the Hulk stuff. It's like, it's the all about who you thing. Are. Yes, it's what's juice. Inside of you.
Yes.
Swamp Thing juice.
But I do think that is the thing. Like, I think
Smucker's
like,
brand.
Smucker's brand Swamp Thing juice.
So the month...
Frank just knocked his own headphones like,
I
out.
I was so excited that I knocked my headphones out. So one of the things that stood out to me that I really like, I was like, this feels weird, was the training montage where it's like slightly sped up.
Yes.
Not a lot. Not like, you know, Benny Hill style. It's like half sped up.
Just enough for you to think that is your thing wrong? Is your streaming going weird?
Yeah. And then it stops and then it goes back again.
Right.
And it makes me feel gross. I don't know. This.
I know.
I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, because it's manipulating you in an odd way, in an inconsistent way. I mean, I'm also super wary because I've told you how my phone does a thing where sometimes I'll get in the car and plug it in and the podcast will start up, but it starts up at 0.75.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, why is Frank sound so stoned or whatever it is? Like, it'll be all of our friends sound fucking wrecked. It's 0.75 is just enough to make you feel crazy.
But yeah.
And so I'll be like, man, I thought, like, you know, it'll be like, man, Gabriel smoked a lot.
Right.
But then all of a sudden I'll be like, no, now Paul Scheer sounds stoned. Now everyone sounds stoned. Oh, fuck my fucking phone.
Yeah.
But that's how it feels. It's just like, what's wrong with me right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it felt like a little, like, unnerving.
Because it's also just tone-wise. It's just unclear what types of jokes are doing. What is the joke of this? Why, like, are there jokes? Is it Benny Hill-ish?
Speaking
like,
of,
yes.
Why do we get a frog frog fight scene. Why?
Bateman is a dick, but that one's on them.
Yeah.
That all it was like somehow I felt like I looked down and one crazy person is like yelling out frog fight. And it ain't Bateman. It's some nut job who's been sitting there taking a biology class and the whole time thinking, I just want to throw this fucking frog. God, I wish someone else would throw a frog. And maybe some of them were alive and some were dead.
I don't. That's what
freaked me out as well.
Well, that reminded me of E.T. as a kid being like, wait, you have to watch the frog. You kill the frog before you dissect it.
I don't think that we got him in chloroform.
Exactly. We always got
and
ours
it
in
chloroform. Smelled really
yes,
bad.
And it was bad. Actually, that brought it back when they were when she showed the like she was petting the frog. I could smell it. Oh, it brought me back to biology class where it was just like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why there were some live frogs that maybe came alive when they got thrown by a psychopath who wants to have a frog fight. It does also remind me, you mentioned the cartoon, like this ain't no Raging Bull. Like, the fighting is like Popeye fighting.
Yeah.
It's cartoonish. Yeah, so there's like a lot of like...
Wow, like bouncing around and yeah, like...
So, but it's just so...
I'll give you a what for.
Yes, it's so off-putting. Yeah, Oingo Boingo, it's really weird how they were... Oh no, sped up. I just stumbled that. Yep. I did have that note. And yeah, Chubby, it's an uneasy alliance with the Dean. Oh, every dog has its day. Like, it's just like there was just so much dog. Oh, yeah. And even when he's like, we're doing the montage, which is, again, not as fun. The Scott Howard succeeding montage
yes.
is fun because it has that weird... Not Randy Newman, but Randy Newman, like, fake song.
Yeah.
He's
like, a teen wolf.
He gets an A+, Jason Bateman, in this on a test, and he does the, like, hold up. But it's also, like you were supposed to be smart.
He was already smart. And then...
and we already saw this with your cousin.
Also, all of a sudden... Chubby and Styles care
right
about studies. They're like, we're studying because we have finals. Right. All of a sudden, because Styles would not. He's like, he's like really intensely
yes.
studying and looking at the book and being like, man, you've really lost
yeah.
the plot here. And it's like, what?
I think Styles has lost the plot too. Yeah,
exactly.
Like Styles was fun. All of his shirts suck in this.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking at? Dick Nose is one of the best shirts that's ever existed, right up there with High on Stress that Booger wears in Revenge of the Nerds.
I love when he became a director when he directed that one episode of It's Always Sunny.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mac wore that shirt.
Yes. Wait, did he do the ski one?
I think he might have.
Because
then the guy from Rockula was...
Yes,
yeah.
And Chainsaw from yep. Summer School. Man, we got to find a way to make that a loose cannon. he's also... Styles is also great in... Well, he's great in Iron Eagle. I forgot he was in Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
But he's great in that one episode of Seinfeld where Elaine needs to find the pen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
he runs the pen store. And he's like, I went all the way down there and found the distributor. It was a very hard day. Yeah, I mean, also, like, the studying part is so odd because, like, Jason Bateman's a dick in this whole thing. But it really starts to be, like, confusing of, like, how he's not... It's such a long series of not picking up that he's way in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he just lost the girls
mm-hmm.
because he's, like, showing off at mini golf.
Jeff,
after he had a threesome.
Jeff, here's my headache is forming.
Here, take two of these.
little
yellow, different.
So this is where the 8-year-old thing comes into play again. So the guy's like, check it out. And he has a ball that's like magnetized or electronically.
Right?
Like a remote control ball that makes a hole in one so they could go over there and talk to them.
Right.
And they never use it again. Because the way I thought was going to happen was like, why don't we make it interesting? You and I do a couple of holes and whoever wins get the girls. You know, like something like that.
Yes.
And I thought that's why they showed the electronic ball. But it literally never is talked about ever again.
That he might be a master of electromagnets.
Right. Maybe he uses it to fight at the end. He's like cheating a little bit. Like it's just like,
that's,
you know,
real genius blood, shit in,
yeah,
there.
Blood sport too. Like where he's got the, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I must have looked down. I forgot that that was in there. Cause like, I was just so distracted by like, Todd is such a dick. He's not recognizing how much these girls aren't horny for him anymore.
Right. Why do they stop being horny for him?
Because I think it's time in the movie for him to stop being horny. I mean, I guess we can just,
they're like, oh, you're still Todd, but you're just a wolf.
And what we have realized that is just the wolf brings out what was already in you, which is terrible. And what was in him was that he's kind of a dick.
And they're like, our mouth is just full of hair.
Yeah, we can't just do so this. Much hair.
It's all over our clothes. I can't
give
it,
another beeger and get so much hair.
Jeff, I wasn't saying
that's
that.
That's why you went.
No, even making out, there's a lot of hair there.
But like, that's the thing. Like, it's so, when he goes back to the room and he walks in bragging about golf.
This is a mini golf.
So that means he's delusional.
Yeah.
He's lying to himself that he's like the guy who like doesn't score and then lies that he scored with a woman, like whoever.
They left him in the middle of their putt-putt game.
Right.
And he's still like cocky about it. Like he's
about
left
the
alone.
Putt-putt.
Did he finish the putt-putt game?
I scored a 46 is what he said. Right, yeah. But there was what you
did
said.
Did you see? Where, look.
I was just like,
see?
Why is Styles pissed now? We haven't gotten enough scenes of him being a dick to Styles or any. I don't think he has. Chubbs, he at least got dropped off because he wanted to bring the girls into the car.
Right, yeah.
And Chubbs was almost an accessory to at least manslaughter, if
correct,
not murder.
Yeah. And he was concerned for a little bit. You could see it on his face, but then otherwise he was still smoking that cigar and
yeah, he was
living
still
it
smoking
up.
That old cigar.
Right. The old cigar.
But, you know, I was just like, I couldn't stop writing. Just, he's so aggro.
He's just a dick.
Yes.
There's nothing charming about him. He's just like an asshole. Like, he would be the bully.
Right.
In Teen Wolf 1.
Yes.
Now, there's a movie right there. Two Teen Wolves. Oh. And one is the bully and the other one
now
is the...
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
3 o'clock high meets Teen Wolf.
Well,
love that.
This movie, to me, when it's getting to the boxing match and I'm still like perplexed at like, why is this happening?
Yep.
And then I started to think, oh, so not only did they use Teen Wolf as a touchstone, but they're also, think about the time period, Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, they can't do karate, so let's do boxing.
Right.
Because
right.
It feels like they're combining, I think I wrote down, it's Rocky, because Rocky 2 at this time was big. So it's like they're trying to shove in Rocky, Karate Kid, and Teen Wolf 1.
It would be MMA if it was now.
It really is. Like, what's in the zeitgeist? What will like get people? Because like Rocky's big, Karate Kid is big. This will be like, it does feel like that whole like studio mindset of being like, well, these things are working in the box office. Let's put it in this shit.
Does it make any sense? These are working.
Whatever. Put it in there or else you're not getting funded.
Yeah, because then, he then, like, I guess it's Styles and Chubbs makes him realize he's been a dick, or does he see the girl one more time?
He does, because that's when she says, like, he does the I love you thing, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, easy.
Dude.
That's some sleeping with the enemy shit.
I get, like, you know, you're young.
Yeah.
You know, wise men say only fools rush in.
But
it still feels like it. Instead of it being a tender moment where you're like, oh my God, he's realized his errors. It feels abusive. And he's like, but I love you, right?
Right. But I love you. You love me.
You love me, right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It feels dark.
That he fingers her on a roller coaster and it's fear.
Yeah, exactly. Let me in the fucking apartment.
Or Halloween Ends. The uncle comes back and is basically just like replica of the like, this is getting out of hand speech from the first one.
Yeah.
And the main summary is, yeah, man, you're only human too. Don't forget that. But either way, it doesn't matter. I was a boxer. That was a thing. That I didn't tell you. Another thing I haven't told you.
Right.
I'm going to teach you how to box tonight. And it's just like, okay, are we going to do any like core training, like weightlifting?
No.
You just need me to yell uppercut at some point.
All you need is a good uppercut.
But yeah, they set up. Then we get the Send Me an Angel training montage because he realizes after talking to his uncle, he's like, I need to do a makeup. She's super nice. I love the like it's like they were trying to do the 80s move of like, we need a high stakes test.
Yes.
But it's just like, you can only do it at 12. I need to get grades in, but I have a match at 3. Okay. I think you can make it. And then it's just like, yeah, you can. So you're just like, okay, so it didn't matter.
No, like, it didn't. And also it's like, it's always funny to me, like with movie logic, because we know, like, usually with stuff like that, you have to show up an hour at least ahead of time, or else you can't. Yeah, you can't. But I guess because he's the wolf, they'll make an exception. But
yeah,
yeah, there's no stakes whatsoever. Because then he's like, "Oh, I can make that work."
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like, "I can't." Oh, cool.
And he's like, "That'd be funny if he was like done 2 hours early," and he's like, "Well, I guess I'm gonna go grab a sandwich."
I imagine he is because he gets Schlotsky's. There, going to Schlotsky's, brother, to get a round sandwich. Oh man, I loved Schlotsky's. I did on too. Tour.
Oh man.
We used to drive the singer in our band crazy because it made no sense. It was clearly we've been in the van too long, but me and the guitarist of Orchid would say, go to Schlotsky's, ask for a schlot, get a schlittle. Like, wow. It was just like our braids were broken, but we would repeat it.
Yeah.
And it drove everyone else nuts.
I used to love, there was one in my college town, and I used to love going there, but it made me so sick.
Yes.
I don't know, that bread or what? I don't know what it was.
I used to get it. Yeah, they put something extra in there that would make me nauseous.
It's like olive oil or something, yeah, in that bread that like would just like slip right through me.
I got it when I was working at Arista, and it definitely like, it felt like a bowling ball sitting in my stomach. Yeah. Something about it was just like, like it hit hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I assume he also finishes the test early enough because he gets there to be able to be like, let me give the rousing speech,
mm-hmm,
and like sit in the locker room on my own while everyone else gets out there and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And to be threatened by John Ass is like, that wolf better be out there. I want that goddamn wolf. The usual bullshit from the other thing. And then surprise, it's not the wolf. He does
it's Todd.
It's Todd. Todd's here.
I will say I was very surprised at how much he gets the shit beat out of him.
He pulls like, the Rocky move. He's pulling the really move of like, he's actually pulling the Mike Tyson move, like, yeah, of like, because he can take it, but he can't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get beat up because I also hate myself and then fucking fly at the end.
But it really does feel like we get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At a certain point, you're like, yeah, he's taking these blows, but at no point is there any kind of like ebbs and flows where it's like back and forth. It's like, no, he's just getting the shit kicked out of him. And it goes on for fucking ever. And it feels like they're just repeating shots where he's just like, bah, 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 until like that end where he's like, look like he's on the floor again.
You don't have the moment in the first one when he gets like fouled for the second time.
Yeah.
And he's like, how much more you can take? He's like, all you can handle. And also one more foul, you're out. It's the break, the song of win in the end goes down just a little bit to hear that.
Yeah.
The realization on the guy's face. And then he does it again. And then the tenseness of will I make the free shot?
Mm-hmm.
And the look on the guy's face when he realizes, oh, it's all, yep, over.
And the guy in the stands with his dick out.
Guy in the stand with his dick out. And
I was looking. I was like, that would be funny if he came back. And then we found out that character was the cousin of that other guy.
It's the one thing they don't carry over is guy with the dick in his fucking out his pants in the stands. And yeah, even when they have that moment, just to quickly say with like the teacher, it takes like a second for John Ass to even realize what she's saying. He's like, yeah, what's going on? Oh, you're a wolf. Okay, sure, cool. But yeah, like essentially, like, it's also fun that they, like, not fun, it's dumb that they've set up that Styles doesn't learn from the last one. He's like, now you got to become the wolf. And it's like, motherfucker.
No,
did you not just live there through the first one? We just did this a year ago, man. Like, Chubb should be like, nah, man, it's going to work out. You know how this shit goes.
And you find out that, like, Styles, like, it turns out that he's got some issues. Oh, wow, man. Maybe look, we brought him here. Because it's a little bit like a make-a-wish thing. Like, he doesn't know he's dying, but we know.
Wow.
Because he forgot the fact that he went to the doctor.
This whole thing has been set
up. He's dying young.
Or he's just been smoking too much weed. He found his brother's stash.
Right.
I had no idea. I've said this before, I think, too. I had no idea in Teen Wolf 1 that when he's looking for his brother's stash, that he was looking for weed.
Mm-hmm.
I always just thought it was a pile of money.
I thought it was a pile of porn or something.
I mean, something. I'm just...
Because when you're younger, you think stash means like, oh, the dirty magazines.
We were just weird. You're like, oh, okay, you fucking stoner, man. Chill out, Styles.
So I would keep wanting to call him Francis, but Chubby.
Yes.
He throws that bolt to call the round early. No, that's not going to happen.
I don't stand for cheating.
No.
I want a fair fight. I believe in the sport, just like George Plimpton.
Mm-hmm.
And
back in the day, men, that's a real pure sport. The only pure sport, two men get in the ring. The only time I stopped writing novels was to drink bourbon and go watch boxing.
And then, even honestly, like, yeah, so fake Boof is playing the Adrian, basically.
Yeah. I love you. Oh, or she mouths it, right?
Yes.
And he's like, what if afterwards he was like, it was because you said you love me. And you're like, and she's like, no, I said alligator food.
Wow. Like, were you not seeing? I thought we were doing that inside joke we had before about alligator food.
Oh, it looks like I'm saying I love you, but I was saying alligator food, as in your chum, your meat.
Yeah, you're abusive. That's what I was trying to tell you. Right. You're charming. You're abusive. I hope you die. Yeah.
You're abusive.
I hope this is my way out.
But, like, even when he starts throwing punches Mike Tyson style, he's throwing, I don't know anything about boxing. He's throwing real haymakers.
Yeah.
Like, they are definitely, like, possibly even in college boxing, are illegal throws. Like, they're
probably,
like, wildly out of control.
Like, on top of the head. And
yeah. He's just nut punches nonstop. And then he wins?
He wins because he knocks him out because the guy was standing, he was being held up by the ropes. But then when he stepped back, he goes, boo, timber.
That was a real rope-a-dope Timby situation right there. Yeah, I felt like I looked down and looked up and he had won. And I was just like, okay,
yeah,
I guess we're just dealing with this. And then...
Do you hear that?
What? I do hear that. What is that?
That's my farting helicopter. It's here to pick me
up. Thought so. The farting helicopter. That means we're almost done with this because the farting helicopter is landing, people.
When you hear the farting helicopter, it means it's time to wrap up.
And so, yeah, he ultimately wins because why? And also, the blonde girl is maybe going to him again because it happened the first movie.
Exactly.
Like, that's all.
She's like, oh, now I realize how cool he is because she's all superficial, right?
Right.
And then...
But then redhead's over there like, I'm sitting in here in a bikini.
Right. And she's like, fuck, like, you. Jesus, yeah, like, I'm sucks. Good. Yeah.
Wow. Now you're see what a backstabbing friend you are for all around.
And then Chubby tries to assault her.
Then Chubby tries to assault her. Yeah. We end on a trying to assault someone.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
And it's not like the ending of Teen Wolf 1 does feel triumphant. Like, but this, no.
It's just over.
And because there's no dick coming out. Like, ultimately, like, none of us.
That's really
win.
What made the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, subconsciously or consciously, it's like. It's part of cinema history.
That's what I've always said. It's part of film history, cinema history. We all win in the end when we see a guy maybe take his dick out of that swearing it's just his finger and then he tries to shove it back in.
I mean, if you go to Alamo Drafthouse or a Nighthawk, if you go see any movie dealing with a penis, a new movie dealing with a penis, they're going to have a retrospective of that scene.
Or
talking
memoriam,
about the impact.
Because that poor guy.
Yeah, that penis is dead now.
That penis is dead. The guy's
alive.
That
would be funny if, like, if they at the Oscars, they did show that if he passed away, they had that clip of him with his dick out.
Is it my favorite hidden thing in a movie? Like, I like it infinitely better than the ghost in Three Men and a Baby.
That's so
even
funny.
If it's not a dick, it's still a guy trying to make a fake dick and then get it in the shot, and it made it through the shot.
What is that? Is it supposed to be Ted Danson? I cut out of Ted Danson in a tux, right?
I thought it was, because I think I was a kid. I think it was like for a movie that... But
another movie and just like...
We're going to have to look this up.
Yeah.
Or...
But I remember seeing it creeping me out.
Yeah, because you knew it was the ghost of a gaffer.
Yeah.
Who's the kid had died on set.
It was one of the little people who hung themselves
in the
background.
Yes, it was the ghost of the little person from the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz.
In the background.
With the dick from Teen Wolf on his head.
Yes.
And
it spelled out sex whenever...
I was just going to say, and it spelled out sex. sex.
And all the good teenagers
and,
take off their clothes.
Jessica Rabbit's wasn't wearing underwear.
Yeah, and then the castle was shaped like a penis.
Castle was definitely shaped like a penis. The priest had a boner when he was marrying.
And when they're flying down, you could see in one of the windows there's a naked woman.
Yep. Yeah. And call Alice for a good time. 555 blah, 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 whatever that number was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. They all merge in Teen Wolf 2. That's the reason to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teen Wolf 2. It is, for being a movie that we both watched, and we all these movies are movies we watched way too much as kids, most of these movies we cover. This one, I think we both are probably both surprised how much we watched it.
Yeah.
In retrospect, and how legitimately kind of piss poor it is. Like, it's not even like enjoyable. I like watching it. I was like, oh, I was, because I would have watched it on my own.
It was a hard watch.
Yeah.
I was like, just last weird. Night watching, I was like, when I started, because I, again, thing where I started at like 10:30 and I'm like, God damn it.
I didn't expect it to be so frustrating.
At the time we're recording this, which is early June, it's on HBO Max. Or
Max. You'll go Max on this one. Yeah, it's on Max. It's never gonna not.
It's never gonna.
HBO
yeah.
Max. Yeah. So it's on Max currently. Who knows if that'll still be
there. At the time
there.
That this comes out. Yeah.
If not, go check out Hoopla or something. But yeah, I mean, it's. I don't. It's. I think it's actually both. I think the biggest reason to watch it is that it's a great nostalgia killer.
Yeah. I think so too.
Then you never have to think about it again.
Yeah, I'm probably never going to watch it ever again.
I'll maybe, there will be a point where I will want to watch the Send Me an Angel training montage of learning science.
Yes, and then making out. It's
and
so
then making out passionately. Ooh.
That was like when I was that young. That's where I like kind of like those kind of type of movies. That's where I learned about kissing. And like, ooh, this is what's supposed to be.
So you're like, I guess I got to study harder.
Yeah.
This is what's going to turn. And listen to Send Me an Angel.
I really got
to
get my ABCs down and really.
Baby. So yeah, I mean, do we have anything else? I don't think so.
There was a line in here. I was like, oh, that's a trailer line where Styles says, I love college. I love it. And then there's a line.
He loves it.
I love college.
He loves it.
Gravity with two. The library scene when they're in there, there's a couple of shots in this where they're actually trying to do something creative because like there's one scene where they're in the ring and it's doing a round, like it keeps going around while they're having this conversation. I was like, oh, that's an interesting shot.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, and I wonder, I need to look up who directed this video, but Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels, where it's in that library. If you've never seen this video, it's one of the strangest fucking videos, but they literally have crane shots in this library, and that's what's happening in this library scene in this movie. I was like, I wonder if they use the same setup in the same library.
It's quite possible. And also, that is reminding me that that's one of the more violent scenes in the movie, is when he's trying to get the same book as Bizarro
that,
Boof.
Okay, that was like, you're an asshole.
Yeah. He's throwing books at her, and like to the point where like the librarian comes up and we cut before she says anything. But what she should be saying is like, do you need to talk to campus security?
And like, then he follows her out and be like, you know what? I don't actually, he's like trying to, again, abusive.
Yes.
He's abusive.
He's abusive.
He's like, baby, I swear, you know, like, yeah.
Oh, baby, I swear. I love you. I love you.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was, no, I guess that's it. Anyway, oh, but yeah, I was going to say, if we see the monkey in the Red Sox shirt, then it definitely was part of the Tears for Fears video. Wasn't that worth the wait?
It was worth the wait, people. I'll tell you, it was all worth the wait. So yeah, this is the point in the show then where we got to rate this thing. I mean, this is where we do our canon rating. It's 1 to 10 canon. It's not how good or bad it is, but how canon this is. And in this case, how canon this loose canon is that was distributed by Canon. Frank, while you're doing that, I'm also going to look up, because I meant to do this, where it was distributed. And I like it was at the end of the episode, apparently.
I think my rating is going to be a 4. Because there are like some like maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, and then also just like not quite. Like if Canon were to do, the way I'm grading this is more of like, if canon were responsible for doing a sequel to a movie, like your Exterminator 2, or like, you know, whatever, where it's like, it takes the elements from that first one, but it just misses the mark a little bit because it's more focused on the surface as opposed to the you know, the bones of it.
It's Superman 4 meets Rockula. Yes. In a weird way. Yes, like,
exactly. That's a good description.
This is for Canon Screen Entertainment in the Netherlands.
Oh, wow. We're really, that's a loose canon. Loose canon.
But I would say, I might even go to 5 because of the connective tissue. Like, it does feel like it's in the canon realm of, like, got the property, did done it wrong.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
So where are you at?
I'm going to give 5.
Okay.
I'm going to give right down the middle.
Yeah.
Especially just like a little bit more, just because, like, I think how, I don't know, it's just in my mind, it just felt like so, like, canon does great with their own properties.
Yeah, but when it's, like,
when adapted, it's someone else's, they just get lost in what they think is going on.
It also, I mean, you're right with that 5 score, because it is down the middle. Like, it'd be one thing if it were, like, really bad, like, just, like, horrendously bad, where you're like, holy shit. But it's, like, bad enough, but not, like, holy shit bad, where you're like, eh.
Yeah. It's more of a, it's an indifferent bad.
Yeah, I wish it were worse, so that could be, like, batshit terrible.
Yeah.
But it's really not even that. It's just, like, it's just kind of whatever.
No, the most you'll get is bummed that you waste so much of your youth watching it.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O, people. It's a loose cannon, and it's right down the middle. And on that note, that's where we gotta say, Frank, where can people find the Canon Cannon?
They can find us on Instagram and Twitter at The Canon Cannon. Second Canon is one N.
And go to that Patreon, patreon.com/TheCanonCannon. That's where you'll find all of our extras and bonus episodes and episodes that come out a month early, videos about soundtracks, Garlock Soundtrack Corners, all that good stuff. But also, most importantly, it's just the best way to support us in this endeavor that keeps getting crazier as time goes on.
Yes.
And of course, give 5-star reviews at anywhere you listen to podcasts and tell anyone about this. I'm surprised, like, you know, we've done this long enough that I will still get surprised, and then maybe less surprised when I look at our numbers, but that people will be like, I've just discovered this.
Yeah.
Who knew? This is exactly what I've been looking for. I think there are probably a lot more people out there would find that this is exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Because you still haven't found what you're looking for.
Quote the Bono.
Quotes thy Bono.
Quote the Bono. Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That was in your Brian Cox. Quote the fucking Bono.
Fuck off. I stopped watching Succession.
I got worn out. It's too much. But people, on that note, that's where we say, I'm Jeff Garlock.
And I'm Frank Garcia Hale.
And this is
The Canon. Canon.
And again, it's a wolf, not a dog.